Now, it's a great day. It's Mother's Day. I was thinking for a while, Lord, what should I preach on Mother's Day? There's a few things that went through my mind. Should I be the person preaching on Mother's Day? I was thinking one of the things we could do is get some prophetic, gifted in teaching mother up here and to talk to us dads and children, right? And I think we probably would hear the most truth that way, if we were honest. Secondly, I thought, I could preach a message to the husbands and the children how to love and appreciate their mother more. And the next thing I thought about, I could give a bunch of statistics today. And you know how wonderful the mothers are, and how they sacrifice and just really smear all the butter on really, really thick because they so deserve it, right? And but yet that's kind of not me. Roy does a great job with the Mother's Day messages, probably better than I do, and he does well with that. You know, I remember a few that he did, so. Well, thank you, Earl, for the singing, too. I had to sit there and think, you know, it is not about what we say, and it's not about our own ability, but it's God taking his word, or maybe just a portion of what you hear today, maybe only just a sentence or something, and applying it to our hearts, and that word of truth from the Lord can change our lives. So, the message I have today is Mothers, Shepherds of the Heart. And I really like that, you know, Mothers, Shepherds of the Heart. this is to give hope, encouragement, and clarity, and probably a few tools so that you can continue to be a great mother. But more than anything else, that God would personally speak something to your heart, to your mother heart today, that he would take just a little word, give clarity, give hope, and about the shepherd call. The shepherd call in your life and what a high and holy calling it really is. It's a shepherd call. I mean, God calls moms to be shepherds. I want to talk about three different types today. Shepherding your own heart, shepherding the heart of your family, and shepherding the hearts of people around you. So we know God is a good shepherd, right? He looks at the heart. I had a little devotional here recently about the heart, and the theme verse that I would like to put out is, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we should be heart doctors, right? Especially women, and they do a good job of that, right? Sometimes in the family life, us men are very busy and distracted, and there's the little word from your wife, your mother, that intuition that just says a word, and you realize, you know what, I'm running too fast. I'm not seeing the heart of my children, or possibly the heart of my teenagers, the way I should, or even my own heart. They have more of an intuition towards people and towards seeing the heart and caring for the heart, I think, than us men do. The heart is the control center of life. In it are its values, beliefs, convictions, thoughts, desires. The heart is who you really are. I mean, it encompasses everything you are, your heart. And there are enemies. There's three enemies that are trying to get to every heart. The Bible says the world, the devil, and the flesh. And we have to fight against those. The Bible says we do not fight against flesh and blood. You know, sometimes in life we're physical, or we think carnally. And we think, you know, that person's reaction to what I said, or his reaction to life, is a physical thing. It's something that I should try and fix, or I should try and get back at.
But you know, if we step back sometimes a little deeper and realize, why is that person doing what he's doing? What's happening in his heart? What is going on inside of him that's making him do? That's caring for the heart. Now, if we don't care for the heart, we're just going to be reactive. We're going to say, you know, that's not right. You know, you got to fix this. And we're just going to be just all in. But when we pause sometimes and realize, now, why did the person do it? That's really caring. Because that person might be discouraged. I think about the story where the children were in an airplane. They're all over the place. And the people just started getting all sorts of ideas. This dad just doesn't have his life together. And he's just letting his children run everywhere. And boy, he has noisy children. And all of this stuff on and on. And here, this person had just lost, was grieving and had just lost somebody very dear in his life. I think it might have been the mommy or something. And there's a typical example of we don't know what's going on inside sometimes. So this message was born out of a little personal revelation I want to share. I want to share a story. Outside of my house, I have this weeping cherry tree. I walk past it almost every day going to work. Every day I go past this weeping cherry tree. About 2 years ago, it started getting a crack. In the middle, it started opening up and the bark started peeling back. And I assumed, you know, this is just a hard winter. Why is the tree doing this? But as time passed, it wasn't getting better. Every day I walked past thinking, what's wrong with this thing? Why doesn't it heal itself? I don't want to lose this beautiful tree. I don't know about cherry trees, but those beautiful pink flowers. I love the pink flowers it produced every spring. Eventually, this year, but this is very real. This is, you know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I walked past and I finally decided, you know what? I really ought to stop and see what's happening to this tree. By now, it had really had about a foot and a half of bark that had peeled. So I went down and got my sawzall, and I trimmed all this bark away. I kneeled down and I touched the center, and I realized this is soft. And I said, you know, some of this stuff is rotted. So I went and got a sharp object and cleaned everything out till I got into the hard wood. I've been scraping away all the decay until I reached the solid wood. And then as I kept scraping, all of a sudden, you know, I saw a worm, and then more worms. And here for a couple of years, those worms had been slowly eating away at the trunk of the tree. So I cleaned everything out as good as I could. By now, that's a pretty deep gap. And I sprayed it with some sort of a tree wound thing. I sprayed it, and then I went and mixed some lime, hydrated lime. I put it into a paste and I smeared it in there very nicely. As I stood up, I saw a few of the branches. There's the branches, two or three of the branches that came out this way, the side of the wound. I saw, oh, they're not bearing fruit. You know, they're dead. So I trimmed them off nicely. And then all of a sudden, you know, it hit me. You know, I start crying. I'm like, Lord, this tree is so similar to the hearts of our children and even our own hearts. So similar. What was my thought process as I went past that tree? What can we learn in life about God? What can we learn about human beings as I kept walking past that tree? What are some things that you gathered from that story? Yeah, I was hoping this tree's going to make it to the next winter. I took out so much wood. Took all the soft stuff out. That was painful. And I started crying. I was critical of that tree. I'm like, why doesn't that tree, you see how I was not shepherding the heart of that tree. I was not doing that. It was for, why isn't it working? Then my heart became critical. Why is this tree not producing? You know, why? I had all those question marks, and I began having a little bit of an attitude towards the tree. And all the time, the tree couldn't help itself, right? The worms were in there picking away. So I went and got insecticide, and I poured it around the base. All of a sudden, I saw more worms come, and I put that paste in and just covered it. It's a breathable paste, and I put it in there and covered it, and I'm hoping the tree does well. But I learned a valuable lesson, you know, doing that to the tree. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. That's what you mothers, you know, you're gifted that way. I walk past that tree and I want the outside. I want that thing to perform. I wanted that thing to do well. But all the time, I was not watching. I was not watching the inside. All the time, the worms were chewing away at the inside. Now imagine walking through a field and seeing a large tree off in the distance, tall, strong, full of life. But as you walk closer, you notice the bark is cracked, the branches are dying, the leaves are thinning. Hidden deep inside the trunk, a worm has slowly been eating away at the heart of the tree. The problem was not visible at first glance, but outwardly the tree still looked strong, but inwardly it was decaying. And that's what happens to many people, fathers, mothers, and children. Outside, sometimes we're smiling, we're serving, we're organizing, we're helping, but inside, we're exhausted, anxious, spiritually dry, discouraged, and overwhelmed. And that's why I think God has called us to watch the heart. You know, a heart can be in many different places. A heart can be wounded, a heart can be heavy, a heart can be troubled, a heart can be fearful, a heart can be lonely, defensive, proud, hard, offended, or a heart can be contrite, broken, clean, pure, willing, generous, good and honest, perfect and whole, soft, enlarged, and sound. The Bible talks about a sound heart. So, I would like to, the first little subject here that I have is shepherding your own heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Before a mom can pour out, she must allow God to pour in. You know, this seems such an easy thing, but we can't give what we don't possess. And it's difficult to minister out of a heart that is not healthy. You're actually going to minister the very thing that you don't want to minister. An unhealthy heart cannot pour out of love, cannot pour out love, patience, and joy. A mother cannot pass on the peace she does not have, the joy she does not know, the faith she does not practice, or the intimacy with God she's never cultivated. And sometimes it takes healing. Sometimes our hearts are not at the place where we can pour out. Sometimes we need to step back and say, you know what, we need to give this some time. Our hearts need to heal. You know, they used to say, you know, hush till you heal. And I think that is a very good word, because when you're not healed, you can really take it out on other people. And it's better to find healing, to step back and say, you know what, I'm just gonna be careful, I'm just gonna heal first. And we can't produce this fruit. I'm gonna grab the board here as I put something on it. We cannot produce this fruit. This fruit is only something God can produce. You know, in the Old Testament, they were able to copy the miracles that Pharaoh's magicians were able to copy the miracles, but what we what they could not and what in life cannot be copied is fruit. Fruit cannot be copied. Fruit, if I think about somebody that has joy, peace, patience, those things, we can't manufacture them. You cannot manufacture those things when you think about it. Those are the fruits of God, right? So the Bible says those are the fruits of God. Sometimes we think of all sorts of other fruits, but the Bible says those are the fruits of God. They're going to be most powerful to any influence you're ever going to have on anybody. Sometimes we're like, what words are going to give, are going to influence somebody towards God more? The fruits of God, I promise you, are going to be your strongest influence towards God in any person and most effectiveness. The most effective things that are ever going to come out of your life are the fruits of God. And sometimes we don't believe that. We think it's a program or a system or something else, but the fruits of God have such power. Think about what drew you to Christ. For me, it was the love of God in somebody else's life. And when I see true holiness or somebody that just the patience, peace, long-suffering, those are the kind of things that attract us, right? We're like, how does this person walk through with what he just did with such a calmness? I mean, you just want that. You're just like, wow, that is awesome. That is the best thing. There must be somebody living inside of him. How does this person get up in the morning is cheerful and loves God and always has a bright word when he's going through such a difficult time? How does this person do that? He's going through so much. How does this person get up in the morning and go to work and is cheerful? I thought about Corey. He's not here. But, you know, for a year there, I told my employees, you know, I never heard a complaint. He came through the door every morning just with a cheerful heart while Abby was dealing with cancer. And I've often used that lesson. I just never saw him down or, you know, just sulking, you know, hey, I deserve better treatment or something. You know, I'm going through a hard time. No, he was there to make everybody else laugh. So, but we cannot produce the fruits. There's another story in the Bible where Jesus was walking up to a fig tree and he was hungry. And people are always hungry. People are always hungry. People around you are always hungry. People coming through the church door, there's something on their heart. People coming through your home, there's something on their heart. But Jesus was hungry and he saw this tree. This tree had beautiful leaves, beautiful tree. As he got closer, he wanted to eat the fig. It was a fig tree. And he found nothing on there but leaves. You know, that's how our children are. They're hungry. We cannot afford to be without those things. We cannot afford it. We cannot afford to be without fruit. And never mind, Jesus said that we have to have the works of God. If our faith is really faith, we need to have the works of God. I mean, how did it say in James? James is somebody that cut right to the chase. He said, you know, show me your faith by your works. You know, that's why I often sometimes carefully say you're saved by your works. Because if your faith doesn't work, are you going to be saved? So you're not just saved by faith. You're saved by faith. That's actually works. You have to have the works of God. You can't get to heaven and say, I have no fruit, God. I have no fruit, but yet I have great faith. I love you. I've been a Christian. I've done this. I've done that. You can't do that in heaven. God's going to say, where is your fruit? Where is your fruit? Bring forth fruit. And it's shown in this example here. If I told the tree, you know what? Curse. He told it, you're going to be cursed. And he cursed the tree. We have to bear fruit. We have an obligation to bear fruit. I'm reading a book right now by Preston Poon, I think his name is. And it's How is Greater Than What is the book, is what the book called. And he just focuses on how a lot of people look for the results, for the what. What are you doing and what's happening and all that. But he said the how is greater than the what. How you go about doing things is more than your accomplishment. You know how people say, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. It's how you go about stuff. Sometimes people think it's all about the what. It's all about, you know, getting this thing accomplished. But it's how you get that thing accomplished that really matters. That's part of leadership too. You can't just say what. You have to say how did you do the what. It's very, very important. Simon Sinek wrote a book about why. It's very important to know why you're doing the things you do. Very true. Very, very important. I haven't had anybody seen a book that writes about the who. Because you can't, who is greater than why, how, or what. In my opinion, who is the foundation. And a lot of times we're up into what. We want the outcome. We want to know, what does this look like? How's the, and our focus as leaders and as people, as moms, I think moms are a little more keen, so I'm going to give them a little grace this morning. I think they're more shepherds of the heart. They're more worried, why did my child do what she did or he did, and what's wrong with the heart? I mean, that is how we should think a lot of times. But a lot of people, I walk past the fruit tree with a what? Where the fruit? And why is this thing not complying? And I might have, you know, seen some of the what, but I was focused up here. And maybe the how, you know, what it should be doing, the methods, but the motives and the foundation is what God cares about. And we should care about it too. God wants to know why, wants to know why you did what you did. But then it becomes the issue of who are you serving. Our heart, there is a battle for every single heart, for our children's heart, for parents to separate, to argue, to fight. There's a battle for hearts. And who we serve, we need to continually prioritize and go down to the roots and say, who is my heart being influenced by? Who am I serving? Who? Not why, not how, not necessarily what, but who am I serving today? Am I serving the Lord? And sometimes in that who, we need to simply say, God, how do you want me to do it? Sometimes we're up here and we're trying to figure everything out. And sometimes it's us pausing and saying, God, what does a godly woman look like to you? A godly woman is going to be a godly mother, right? What does the Bible say about a godly woman? A godly mother is first a godly woman. The world focuses on image, but God focuses on the heart. Charm and is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Her greatest desire is to please God. She has inward beauty. So she did not just have outward beauty, she has inward beauty. It says true beauty is a quiet, gentle and quiet spirit. What if we would truly believe that? Are we raising daughters with a gentle and a quiet spirit? Or do we think, you know, hey, the world has a little bit of a better way of raising daughters, right? She is kind and wise. Her tongue is the law of kindness. Sometimes we think we can improve upon that. Like Nate said, we can't improve upon that. Her tongue is the law of kindness. On her tongue, she is trustworthy. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Have you ever thought about that, that the heart of a husband trust in her? I mean, I've told my guys at my work a lot of times, I'm so blessed that I can trust you all here. You know, you all have a credit card. I can think the last 3 years, I've never had to worry about anybody charging anything on that card that they shouldn't have. That's just trust. That's just me saying, you know, I trust everybody there. If I wouldn't trust somebody there, I'd be checking the credit card bills. Or I'd be asking the accountant to check the credit card bills. Say, hey, keep your eye on this. Yeah, I just want to make sure everything's all right. But can you as a woman think about what it really means that the heart of your husband completely trusts in you? She is strong. Strength and honor are her clothing. She's generous. She opens her hand to the poor. You know, in our lives, this trunk here is our inner life and our hidden life. There's roots there. There's relationships, or branches. I have in as relationships, I don't have that written down, I don't think. Just our relationships, you know, to our children, our church, our community, are those branches healthy? And if they're not, maybe there's a problem. Maybe there's a worm inside of the trunk, the leaves, your attitudes, your emotions, the fruit, the result. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in the season, whose leaf does not wither. And whatsoever they do shall prosper. You know, we need the water of God's word. We need sunlight of prayer. We need to remove unhealthy things continuously. You know, if you have fruit trees, you have to remove so much stuff. You have to spray oil on there to protect them from the worms, from the insects that want to get to it. And if they get into that little flower at the right time, they're going to deform your fruit. You just have to be right there. And if you don't hit them every 7 days, you're not going to have this very beautiful fruit. So there is no sitting around with that. And sometimes we're not aware of what it can do to us if we every day, well, I know this is, sounds religious, every day open the Word of God and read a chapter. You know, it is amazing how the Word of God keeps you. We don't understand that. We sometimes think we're good. We can walk without the Word of God for a week. I'd venture to say some of our attitudes and our outlook and our discipleship is being affected when we don't open the Word of God and we look at it like a mirror and say, you know what, God, I'm going to become more like you, not like myself or how I think I should be, but I'm going to conform myself to you. Most of most battles are in the mind and your thought and what you believe. It really is. So if you think about it, the reason why you're not somewhere is because you don't believe it. Emmanuel used to say, I loved him for that, according to your faith, so be it unto you. He just let you sit. I mean, it's kind of a challenge, right? Because according to your faith, so be it unto you. Whatever faith you're going to believe, if you can believe today that, you know what, I can go out and through God's strength, I can have a smile on my face and I can be a happy person all the days of my life. If you believe that more and more, that God asks that of you, and through God's strength, you can do that, I think you'll accomplish it. That's what I think. I think you can overcome just about anything. I really do. I think the opposite is true, that hindrances in people's lives are strongholds, but they're strongholds of the mind. If you don't believe a certain truth or you don't agree to a certain effect, that's, in a sense, a stronghold. It's something, a thought pattern that you've developed that's not possible. That's what strongholds are. It's wrong thought patterns about God and his ability to do something. That's a stronghold. So how are you going to change that without taking the word of God saying, you know what, this is what it says, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to believe. Why? Because my emotions, because I feel like it? No. It's because God said so, and that is why I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the right thing because it's the right thing, not because I feel like it. Martha and Mary, a lot of our lives have to do with priorities, especially you mommies. Martha became overwhelmed and frustrated, and Jesus said, Mary, you did a good part. Jesus was not against Martha serving. Don't get this lesson wrong here. Martha was about the what? She was so consumed having the house right, everything put away, and looking good before the guests came. And everything had to be in perfect order. I want to bless my wife for that and her mommy. I mean, she is just presents and children and relationships are priority. The house, whether it's perfect or not, has never been, ever since I've been here, has never been on the top of her shelf. She'll be reading a book. And I unfortunately have to confess, I'm the opposite a little bit. But I've grown to realize that I'm more wrong than my wife is. You know, what do we want to walk through life with, right? You want to get to your grave and say, you know, I've got this Pinterest house and I've got this, you know, beautiful thing going here, and being a wow this and wow that. I always had a clean house. I always had all the tasks lined up. Or do you want to go to your grave wondering about the relationships you built with your children and all those special times that you invested in human beings, the only thing that's eternal, right? Things in our house are not eternal. So you cannot serve from frustration. So Martha was frustrated, and yet she was thinking she was doing what? Serving God, right? And does anything good happen when we're stressed out and frustrated? Not much. I know for me, in business even, when I am very stressed out, it's hard for me to be cheerful when I'm stressed out. It's hard for me to go home and minister when I'm stressed out. It's just very hard. And I've watched myself that this certain time period, whether it's winter or pushing snow or whatever, when I get all those things I had to do and line up, and I noticed I was overwhelmed. And I can't be my best when I'm overwhelmed. It's just very hard. So I've learned, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. Sales guys are doing this, and you take this, and now it's like, it's so much better because I was able to delegate it to somebody, and I realized that's not healthy for me to be in that place. Serve from overflow and not exhaustion. You know, you cannot throw another pair of boots in the washer when it's already off kilter, right? Ron Oja used to tell me that. You know, he referred to have another baby. There's already 10 of them climbing the walls, but he just said, you know, you need to space the children because, you know, it can be too much. And that was his illustration he gave, and I still laugh at it. or it's like an RPM gauge. You know, we were not meant to run in the red. We were not meant for it. Our hearts are not meant for it. You know, and after a while, we're popping blood pressure pills and all that. We're like, why are we running in the red? Stay within the capacity that God gave you. Your RPM gauge is over 3, and you run your engine at 5. You keep going down the road in low gear. It's going to be a problem. Eventually, it is going to be a problem. Create margin and boundaries. I want to encourage you, ladies, moms, it's okay to say no. Shared it with my wife numerous times. Hopefully she does not mind. I didn't tell her I was going to say this. But she loves to serve. She loves to help. And sometimes I feel like, you know, we're the babysitting house. Everybody's dropping their children off all the time at our house. And I can get a little flustered sometimes saying, honey, what about us? What about our family? What about all those children we're watching? Isn't this the third time this week that, you know, we have children over? And so we have to create margin. You know, when we don't have margin, and it's our own fault when we don't leave margin, something else has to take the short end of the stick, right? We only have so and so many hours in a day. We only have so and so much energy. So it comes back to priority and margins, right? You should say no to some things. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to a good thing. Can I say that? Even somebody comes and helps you come church, clean the church. If there's something going on that is more important in a priority list, it's okay to say no, I can't. I have something that's pressing. Take another responsibility on that we shouldn't. Choose relationships over being productive. A lot of women, they want to go out and run businesses and do this and do that. Martha chose to be productive, and Martha chose intimacy. And I think out of intimacy with God is what is needed. If we don't leave enough time for intimacy, we won't have that beautiful tree. We won't have the fruit. What are we going to have at the end of our life? Being productive. What good is that? Shepherd the hearts of your family. Oh boy. Point number 2, I will rush. Giant rush here. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. A mother shepherds the emotional and spiritual atmosphere of the home. Protect your environment of your marriage and home against resentment and bitterness. If I think there's one thing that can happen in a marriage and in a home, it can be resentment and then bitterness. And I think resentment comes first. I think discouragement comes, then resentment comes, and then bitterness comes. And I think if we're not aware of the hearts, whether it's our children, or whether it's our wives, or whether it's husbands, there can be resentment. Leave room for each other spiritually. You know, we're talking about expectations now. The expectations probably were when you were married, you know, hey, you know what, I'll come home, I'll be home with the children, my husband's gonna come up and say, hey, what can I do for you? You know, hey, you know, clean the house, I'll wash the dishes, I'll come put my hand around you and say, hey, how have you been doing? I wanna hear all about your day and how that's been going. Those might have been things you expected. But now let's see what, maybe you expected as a lady, those were things. He's going to sit down with you and just talk to you and talk your day through, take all the children and just leave you all alone. Well, then what about the husband's expectations? Well, he comes in the house and he's thinking, I have this real hard workplace, and the people are mean, and the work is hard, there's just things did not go my way today. A guy cut me off, and they don't appreciate me at work. And I've got all those issues, and you expect, you know, you're going to come in, and your wife is just going to be waiting at the door for you, just looking at you like that, and just give you a hug and say, honey, this is all fine, and I'm so sorry. How was your day? And go through all of that stuff, and get the lazy boy set up for you, and bring you a cold water to drink, and all that. Those are expectations, right? Both people do not have the very good expectations there, right? Guess what happens when both of those people are needing that same thing? That's a problem. That's a problem. That's going to be a problem, right? But we know what the answer to that is. We should be the servants. We should, everybody needs to think about serving each other, right? And I would say, husbands, don't be so emotionally needy. They married you, so you wouldn't be so emotionally needy. You wouldn't need so much emotional lotion, like somebody said. You know, you should come home and be toughened up and be ready to get going with your day. Everybody is walking through the door fighting something. Always remember that. Everybody walks through doors with something on their heart. Figure out what's on their heart. I met a guy one time. I think it was Ray Weaver before I knew Ray Weaver. I was sitting at a dinner table with him. It's just a little story. Sitting at the dinner table with him, and soon we got into talking. He asked me about my life and who I am and all that. All of a sudden, within, I think it was within 10 minutes, I was sharing the deepest things in my heart, like all the way down. Stuff only 5 people get to hear, right? And I'm like, caught myself. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I sharing with this stranger? But then later I figured out who Ray was. But trust me, there was something about Ray. There was something about safety. There's something about trust. There's something about him being a safe person. It was also the way he works. It's also the way he right away cared for the heart, shepherded the heart. He right away, instead of looking at me in person, wondering where I work and all the formalities we do, how's business, all that, he right away talked to me about my heart. And within just like that, I was sharing some of the deepest things. I caught myself. Why did I open up to this man? I don't know this man. But I think we could be more like that. And your moms are doing a good job. Work together as a team to achieve goals. Oneness, spiritually, emotionally, physically. We are one flesh. We're called to be one flesh with each other. That's quite something. When you take two personalities that are dramatically opposed and you stick them together and say, you know, not function as one, that's tough. You know, sometimes we feel like, hey, get me some buddies here that kind of think like I think. That's easier. You know, we have Gary and Nate, they're Hutterites. You know, we can just talk and we understand each other. But you try and mix other people into the mix now, all of a sudden, this is more difficult. And that's the way, me and my wife, we're dramatically different. You couldn't be more different than we are. I'm on this spectrum, and she is on that spectrum. And yet, when we can work as a team, I say this, moms, because when you don't work as a team, it creates a lot of stress. It can create a lot of stress. If you're both doing something individually, it can create a lot of stress. But if you can harness your gifts, your abilities, put them together. That's actually what teamwork is, right? And then you're able to get a lot more things done. So what makes you think, sometimes we think, here's another challenging thing. I've seen where marriages, people try and change each other's personality. If you want to have stress, then try and change each other's personality. And hear me out when I say this. We get married, everything's good, right? We're on the honeymoon fumes. But then you realize you're very different. One person wants to go to the cabin. For me and my wife, she wants to go to the cabin. I want to go explore. The more places we can get in, the better. That's just me. She'd rather just go sit at the cabin, play games, and just enjoy time together. And I just want to go. I want to explore. Get me some tasks, and let's mark them off. And that's how I am more. But what we have to be very careful about is looking at our spouse and saying, my way of doing things is better, right? Her personality is totally different. You're not going to change that personality, right? That's her personality. Hopefully you don't think you can improve upon what God has made. She's his vessel. Don't try to create your spouse in your image. I've seen so much stress in marriages and stuff and things I've read of people trying to create their spouse in their image. They're not meant to be in your image. And that's not oneness, right? That's not the oneness we're looking for. She was made in his image. And let him take his place. I'd say, moms, I think there's nothing more stressful than you taking somebody else's role or space. It can be very stressful for you. Let him take his space. Respect him, honor him. Pray for him instead of trying to change him. And it worked to fathers. I think on Mother's Day, I should be talking to fathers. One of the things I have to look in my life, am I a man worth following? Would somebody follow me? We're asking our wives to follow us, right? Some dads here, do we even have a vision? Number one, to be followed. Some people have no vision. The word is bozos. I don't want to use it, but just, do you have a vision? Do you have a reason why a woman should follow you? Are you worth following? Are you ask for respect, but are you respectable? Do people respect you? Those are questions we have to ask. You can't ask a lady to follow you if you're not respectable. It's very difficult. You can ask them, but it's not God's will to do it out of obligation. You should do your part and submit to God. And some fathers tell their wife to submit to them, but they're not submitted to anything. That's not right. That's not right. If you can't be under authority and submit yourself to somebody, should your wife submit to you? I guess she should, because the Bible says so. But it's not right. It does not, it makes it so hard and so difficult for a woman to submit to you when you're not submitted to anything. And you don't want to submit yourself to somebody. Shepherding our children's hearts. the biggest thing I had there was, there's a story. I was watching something, and I saw when Daddy came home, this woman, this mother, always got up, and she went to the door to greet her husband. And that became a thing of the children. It was just a little thing. Just always getting up and going to the door and greeting. The children always followed. So those things are caught. Prioritize presence over performance. I already talked about that. Comparison is the thief of joy. Embrace your unique gifts. Be who you are. And be okay with not being perfect. There is no way to be a perfect mother. And a million ways to be a good one. I think this guy said it very well. Children don't need a perfect mom, they need you. Shepherds of the church and heart, I'd say there we have a great opportunity to mentor others, mentor others' hearts, grandmas to older moms, to middle-aged moms to younger hearts. So we don't have to go through the same mistakes, right? That's what mentoring is for. So you don't have to repeat the same mistakes. Care for their heart. And I think there the challenge is, let go of some of the preferences you have if they do things different. I'd say the biggest thing in letting go is when somebody does something a little bit different and you just don't like it done that way. You know, at work, I can tell you I've had to let go over 10 different times. From the time I was in the field to being a foreman to being a salesman to all the way up the ladder, I had to let it go to other people that didn't do things the way I would have done it. But they ended up doing it better. But it was in their, it was a little bit in their own way. And part of that letting go is hard. You know, people are not going to do everything just the way you want them to do it. The next generation, they're going to have maybe a touch of a different emphasis. And again, as long as it's biblical, I think that should be fine. And then reach out to the poor and the needy. We should have energy for all those things. It'd be good to. But if you don't, here are the priorities. Jesus, yourself, you have to take care of yourself. Your husband, your children, the church, and the community and the poor. I love seeing where it can go to the community and the poor, but don't go out helping the poor when your children need you a lot and when your whole life's falling apart. It's not worth it. It's not going to be worth it. There's no point. There's no point in going doing missions necessarily if we have a totally unhealthy church and our church is all falling apart. There's no point in being in six different mission fields, right? It's the same thing for a family. But we don't want to neglect missions because that drives us to have the right focus. So I want to say that with the same breath. So in conclusion, mothers, you have a high and a holy calling to your own heart, to your husband, to your children, to the church, to the community. The world changes to transformed hearts, one prayer at a time, one conversation at a time, one meal at a time, one act of kindness. And may your children rise up and call you blessed, because the hand that rocks the cradle shapes the world. That's one of my favorite verses. So why don't we pray? Let's give this little meditation to the Lord. Lord God, thank you for our mothers. Thank you, God, for the wise and good women that you've placed in our lives. Help us as husbands to do our part. It's hard to think about Mother's Day and not to think about our responsibility. And God, so many times, it's us that are leading. It's us that have the vision, supposed to have the vision. And it's us that are supposed to direct and be there for them. And God, help us to think that way and not the other way around. Help us to be less selfish, God, and more godly in our roles. And even for the mothers here, that they would just read your word in a deep way and just align themselves with the word of God and not the world or their own feelings or what the world pictures womanhood to be or paints it out to be. But God, give them contentness and just the rest, the surrender, and just to do their role really well and to spend that quality time instead of being distracted with other things, and whether it's social media and all the things that we're bombarded with in today's world. God, pray a special blessing on all the moms here, God. Thank you, God, for all the blessing that they are, and definitely women that we don't deserve, Father, in a lot of ways. And teach us to care for the heart, care for their heart in this special time, Father, and to become soft and pliable vessels, God. And help us, God, all to have a healed heart. Deep inside, we'd be healed, Father, and there'd be no worms eating away while we try and put up a facade and have nice leaves and have no fruit. And we're operating out of envy or jealousy or hurts or a wounded heart that is just dry and complacent. And we're trying to make all those things happen without you, God. So we just pray a special blessing, God, for all the women, Father, and all the mothers, and for all their sacrifice and their unwavering love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.